Good for the soul.
Some of you might think you don't really need a sermon after a song like that. That's all the encouragement you need. And that's kind of the point of Psalm 121. And lots of the Psalms, in fact. Music for the soul. A great pilgrim song that has particularly encouraged country music fans for years, The Wayfaring Stranger. So just imagine it's autumn time. The harvest is finished, and families from all over Israel begin to journey towards Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. A journey like this was meant to happen three times a year for three different festivals, though for many families it might have often been less than that. The journey could be long and hot and hard and dangerous. But the festival was a joyous occasion. Crowds from all over the country gathered for 7 days, perhaps people you hadn't seen since this time last year, cousins, friends, neighbours, to remember and to celebrate the way that God had looked after his people for the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. But before the festival, the journey. And quite apt, really, that a journey through the wilderness in order to remember your ancestors' time in the wilderness. Celebrating God's care and protection of his people then, all the while with awareness of what kind of protection they might really have needed in the dangers of your own travel. And on the road to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a city built on a hill so that from wherever you came, whichever way you approached, to go to Jerusalem was always to go up. We go up to Jerusalem. And Psalm 121 was a song for just such an occasion. It's part of this collection of psalms towards the end of the book, known as the Songs of Ascent. Ascent going up to Jerusalem. The psalms that were sung by the pilgrims as they made their way. And so you can imagine perhaps the singers as they lift their eyes to the mountains. Perhaps they've met with many companies of people on their journey and they sing with joy, their eyes fixed on the mountain of Jerusalem toward which they travel. They sing, "Where does my help come from?" Or perhaps this year, for some of them, the harvest has been smaller. Their thoughts drift to the challenges of the year ahead, the weather, the land, the crops, their family. Perhaps their eyes are lifted to survey the mountains all around them, rocky and barren, uninhabited. And then around a corner into view comes the mountain of the Lord, with happy people, festivities and celebration. Where does my help come from? Well, perhaps for some, the journey is a much, much longer and harder one. Their group is small and vulnerable. I lift my eyes up to the mountains and what I see is danger. Hot sun, barren hills, perhaps robbers lying in wait. Still much distance to travel. Where does my help come from? Psalm 121 was a festival traveller's song. But how many of us have had occasion this week perhaps to utter similar words? I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Or perhaps your words are a little more down to earth. I scan my bookshelves for the right text. Where does my help come from? I lift my eyes above the office partition. Which co-worker will my help come from? I lift my eyes to the cupboard above the stove. That's where the coffee comes from. I scan my contact list to phone a friend. Where will my help come from? For how many of us do the words bounce back as quickly as for the writer of this psalm? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The only story that we have about in the Gospels about Jesus as a child, apart from the stories of his birth, is a story about when Jesus, aged 12, travelled with his family to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. They did this. It says in Luke chapter 2, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to their custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him. The fact that Jesus gets lost for 3 days at 12 years old might give you an indication of how many people are at this festival, how many people, in fact, are travelling in their group, and of the kind of communal spirit, perhaps, of the travelling party. His parents just assume that he's somewhere in there with his friends, with his relatives, just a bit further back in the line. But it says every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival. And so we can assume that Jesus knew this psalm and that he knew it well. The Gospels also tell us that when Jesus travelled up to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of the Passover, when he was a little bit older, about 33 years old, he knew that that time that he entered Jerusalem, he was also heading towards his death. In the story of Palm Sunday, people sing psalms as Jesus enters the city, but perhaps Jesus and his group of travellers also sung psalms as they entered Jerusalem. Only days before his death, did Jesus sing these words, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth." The answer comes back loud and clear. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. So whether the mountains that we see are a source of help or a source of trouble, our sights are now lifted even higher than the mountains, to the one who made the mountains. My help comes from God. And I wonder how many of us can say that about whatever ails and ills we're going through at the moment. My help comes from God. And if not, why not? These words challenge us, I think, firstly to see that help comes from outside of us. This is both a challenge and a comfort for people like me. If you're anything like me, the first place you look if you need help is yourself. Self-sufficiency is the name of this game. It's the name of our culture, and it's an expectation that many of us place on ourselves. How can I think my way or work my way out of this problem? What will I do? Perhaps I just need a bit more self-discipline, just try a bit harder, work a bit harder, stay up a bit later, whatever it is I need to do. We assume then that if we need help, it's because of our own lack, and that the right thing to do is overcome it. The problem here, of course, then, is that if we can't help ourselves, it's our fault. If I can't seem to do better, feel better, get better, it's my own failure. And there's lots of, I think, modern help that ends up making us feel like this. You're sick? Well, it's because you're not eating goji berries. You're depressed? Get up and do some exercise. But when trouble overcomes us, it's never quite that simple. Most or many of the very worst sufferings that we will face, we know, will be anything but our fault. Nothing we could have prevented, nothing we can solve. And it is too big a burden to bear to think that we have within us all the resources that we need to walk through it. The psalm reminds us to look up. Your help comes from God. And so those words of comfort and assurance about the Lord's help also function for some of us as a challenge. Does your help come from God? Perhaps this might be a good theme for our journey in Lent this year. A challenge to move away from self-reliance and move towards dependence on God. An interesting conversation to have perhaps over morning tea or perhaps during the week in a home group or a small group would be this. What kind of help does God provide? When you seek God's help in your life, what kind of help does God provide? What does it look like? The words of the psalm are poetry, of course, and in some funny kind of way, we know that the words sort of don't quite mean what they say. They don't mean exactly what they say, but we still know exactly what they mean. Not that nothing bad will ever happen to you, though it says, you know, your foot will not slip. And it's not that nothing bad will ever happen to you. The occasion for the psalm is that something has happened or might happen. Help is needed. But this is a declaration of God's character, who he is, and of the way that he acts towards us. To say that even within that trouble, that this is who God is and this is who he will be, even when it doesn't seem like it. And it says God is a keeper. He's a keeper. Not that kind of keeper. And not even a wicket keeper. I was thinking about a wicket keeper, but it doesn't quite work. He's more like a goalie. He guards and protects us, like a goalie protects the goals. God is like a watchman, it says, always alert, never sleeping. God is like a bodyguard, in front and behind, wherever you go, even if you're not Whitney Houston. And the point of this psalm is we can affirm these words to be true about God, even when perhaps they don't seem true to us. And in the process, as we say it, as we speak it, as we sing it, we start to figure out what that really means. What does it mean that God keeps me even when I'm in trouble? The other excellent thing about the Psalms, of course, is that the words are written for us so that even when they're not our words or our feelings, perhaps, they can become our words. The very act of speaking them, even when we don't feel them, can make them true for us. These words don't just express faith that you have to have before you get there, before you come to them and say them. But saying these words will build faith. It will build your faith. So this morning, I want to finish by doing that together. As we do, Think about the challenges that you face at the moment. What are they? What are you afraid of? What is too hard? What help do you need? Let's say these words together. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.